Morning, everybody. Had some good messages today. Thought I had something to say when I came up here earlier. Well, I thought earlier I had something to say when I came up here. What I had to say probably isn't important, but I think what the Lord has to say is very important. I heard some good messages from Steve this morning. Heard a good testimony from Corey. Got a good message from Bob. From Carter. From Charlie. They all deal with looking at yourself, starting there, not putting the blame on anybody else or anything else, but starting with yourself is where or why you're not where you're supposed to be in the Lord. And I think I know why most people can't make that jump. It is a jump. It's not a step. You don't step over from being all about self to being in the Lord. You have to jump. You have to leap. A leap of faith. And the key is right here. Philippians chapter 3:13. Have you read a little bit more before this? They'll kind of fill it out. But I'll start with 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I wonder where this earth would be and what condition it would be in if when Lucifer rose up in his iniquity, his pride, and rebelled against God and swayed all the people except a few to his side, so that God had to destroy that earth and do away with it, if he then sat down and boo-hooed and cried for eternity about the big mistake he made. I mean, who's God going to go to ask for forgiveness? Wait a minute, God needed forgiveness? Well, he blew it, didn't he? He left a flaw there with Lucifer, gave him an opportunity to get full of pride, and then couldn't do anything about it because he didn't have death to kill him with. So what was he going to do? Sit down and cry about it? Moan about it? Worry about it? For eternity? If he did, we wouldn't be here. See, we're taught in the churches that God knows everything. Well, Jeremiah makes it clear he doesn't. He didn't know the children of Israel were going to take their children and burn them at the altar of Baal and throw them in the fire. He said he didn't. He said, never entered my mind they'd do such a thing. That proves to me that God doesn't know everything. He doesn't know what you're going to do from one minute to the next, because he put in you a free will. A free will is a will that can choose to go left or right, forward or backwards, up or down, or a combination of all. Lucifer chose rebellion because instead of looking at the God that created him, he saw himself in a mirror as beautiful and wondrous and just couldn't understand why people shouldn't love him more. And he began to tell the people what they wanted to hear. And they began to listen. Some didn't, praise God. Today we have preachers doing the same thing. They wear expensive clothes. They look like bankers. They don't look like preachers. They look like bankers. Or they run around in robes looking like priests. Untouchables, above everybody. They tell the people what they want to hear. And the people love them for it. They love them for it. Not realizing they're all going to go to hell for it. Because instead of looking at the priest or the preacher, they should be looking at God. Instead of looking at one another, they should be looking at Jesus. How do you get past it? Paul tells us right here, forgetting the former things. Forget your mistakes of the past. Forget them. Don't hang on to them. Turn them loose. They're done. They're gone. You can't change them. You can go to men's hair club and get hair planted in your head. Whoopee-doo. But you can't change that which caused the hair to fall out in the first place. Amen, Brother Davis. So let it go. Forget it. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ and move forward. The secret to long-suffering is not looking back. If I looked back at everything everybody ever did around me, I guarantee you I wouldn't be here right now. I'd hate to think where I'd be. I wouldn't be here. But by putting your eyes on Jesus Christ, and forgetting your past, your mistakes of the past, your stupid things, holding on to the good things that he gave you and did, press toward that mark. Press toward that righteousness which is a free gift from Jesus Christ. That's the key. Because when you look at him and look at yourself, it's easy to humble yourself. I'll guarantee you there's not a person in this room or listening by internet or recording or however you may be hearing this, there is not a person listening that if Jesus Christ didn't stand in front of you right this moment looking like he did to John the Revelator, you wouldn't fall flat on your face as dead. I don't care how holy you think you are or how righteous you think you are. There ain't a one of you that would stand there and say, "Oh God, aren't you pleased to get to stand before me?" When you see Christ in his power and his glory and his might, I don't care who you are, you're going to fall on your face. So when you see Christ like that, it's easy to humble yourself. Amen? It's easy to humble yourself. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't worry about other people. You can pray for them. You can ask good things for them. You can ask the Lord to move in their hearts and move for them. But you can't worry about them. Because if you're worried about them, number one, you're not operating in faith. And number two, you're not seeking God. You're seeking yourself. So therefore, you're not doing them any good or yourself either. Every day, every day, every day, every day, make a new stand. I mean, how'd that prayer go Jesus gave the disciples? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, or debts as debtors. Depends on what chapter you're reading. You know, it struck me one day, he didn't say, "Forgive me all my sins of the past." He didn't say that. "Forgive me my trespasses." It started out earlier, what? "Give me this day my daily, our daily bread." This day, this day. It all deals with this day. Yesterday doesn't exist. It's gone. Doesn't exist anymore. It's a memory, and that's all it is. It's gone. Tomorrow is not even here yet. It doesn't exist. There is no tomorrow. There is no yesterday. There is only today and right now. That's it. And Jesus says, take care. What? Take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't take thought for tomorrow. You walk today. Every day. So when I pray, it's not, "Lord, forgive me all my sins of the past." Every time I do that, I'm denying the fact that he forgave me when I asked you the first time. Amen? But if I ask him, "Lord, as you've forgiven me all my sins of the past and forgotten them, forgive me these sins today also, amen." And then put them out of your mind so that you can walk the next day in him. The secret to walking with Christ is day by day. Took me over 40 years to learn that. Maybe some of you will listen to me and learn it sooner. Day by day. One day at a time. That's the only thing Alcoholics Anonymous has right. One day at a time. Everything else they teach is kind of slanted or wrong. So you want to move ahead in the Lord. Forget the former things. And don't, like some do. I know we got some people in this ministry that think just because they've accepted the Lord sometime or another, okay, they're cool now. They got nothing else to do. Everything's hunky-dory. Oh, you can do everything that Paul the Apostle did. and go through everything he did, and he still said that he didn't feel he attained. When you can match that, if you can tell me you feel you've attained, okay, I might consider it. But I look at some of you people in this ministry, and I'm not just talking about here, I mean around in different parts of the country, that think they've made it. Honey, you're in for a big surprise. You ain't even come close. You got to forget the former things and start over every single day. Maybe two or three times a day. Remember, what I did at 9 o'clock this morning is past. It's gone. One other thing I want to say today. So it hits a little bit about what Charles was talking about, his condition of this nation. I've been praying for a long time for judgment on this country. Some people might not like that. But I have been praying judgment on this country. Starting with its leadership. That devil, Obama, who out of one side of his mouth says he's a Christian, on the other side practices Islam. And has tried his best to destroy this country. And the Clintons, Bill and Hillary, have tried to destroy this country because they serve the same master as Obama. I want to see the judgment of God come down on them in a way that nobody can deny. It will be a wonder to everybody that sees it. I proclaim it in the name of Jesus for the sake of God's people in this nation. And people say what they want about Trump. Yeah, he's got his problems. But you know what? God gave Trump, I believe this, he put Trump there as the only candidate that could possibly save this country. Because with everything about him, he does love the Lord. And it ain't fake. He has shown it over the years, secretly and quietly, by his own actions. And while Barack Obama was off playing golf or looking at the Grand Canyon or something, and Hillary was off doing her thing, it was Donald Trump that went down there and took his own money out of his own money, not government money, his own money, and took relief to those people down there. Where was it, Louisiana? He didn't have to do that. But see, Donald Trump's been doing that kind of stuff for years. It just hasn't been talked about. Is Donald Trump a savior? No. Is he a perfect guy? No. Does he say stupid things every now and then? Yep. So do I. But he's a piece of clay that God can use. He's the only one we've got. So we'll see what happens in the election. That'll be the test. If Trump wins, this country has a chance. If he loses and Hillary takes it, I don't see any hope for this country. Unless somehow or another Christians can stand up. Finally get the guts to speak out. Preachers can finally speak out from the pulpits against what's going on. Right now they're afraid because they've signed a contract with the government. They've signed a contract with the government. And in this contract, they promise not to speak against the government. Or they'll lose their 501c3 determination. I don't care about it. By constitutional right and by law, we are exempt. We don't have to sign a contract. But the lies that they've been fed make the churches believe they have to. Don't buy it. Hey, preacher out there listening to me, if you're under a incorporated church, get out of it or destroy the corporation and start over if you want to follow God. If not, stay where you are. What was it to me? I don't care. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. If it hoodwinks the whole world, I'm going to serve the world. Our Lord. Yeah. Scratch that one. That's all there is to it.